You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. What a crazy, crazy sports weekend on a lot of different levels. I don't really like talking national stuff, but there was a couple of cool stories out there. A new one for sure. We'll get to that right in your wheelhouse. But let's go to the beginning here in Tucson where it matters. The men's basketball team suffered an unbelievable loss in the sense that of how it was played out. Unbelievable. I thought it was a fantastic game. And the way I wrote it was, if you didn't have a cat in the fight, you didn't matter because it was a great game to watch. The women's team went to Utah and Colorado, lost to Colorado, I think it was.
Yesterday. Yeah, that was a hurting one without Ari McDonald.
Yeah, it tells you how valuable she is. I'm so surprised they won with her without her on Friday, given how important she is. But, you know, some days, I don't know if you believe this. I think I've talked about it with you. How long have you been with me now? About 4 months?
Yeah, at least.
It's how you play that day, no matter how good you are. It's just always how good you play that day.
Yeah.
Paper, plastic, whatever you want to say, it's, you know, you have the better players. It means nothing. And everyone talks about talent. Talent means nothing if you don't play together. Or, you know what I'm saying, I'm just throwing everything out there.
On the flip side, if somebody steps up and takes McDonald's, scoring spot, then okay, great.
And that's what you had Friday night. Someone did do that, and they won handedly. So there's that. Then the softball team kind of played okay, good or well, and then lost, and then well again. You play 70, 40, whatever number of games, you're going to have those when you play that many.
Sure.
Only because I think one of the factors, and I don't know if you believe this, this is what I've learned, at least what I've learned in my business here in the last 30-some years, emotions are a huge factor when sports are concerned, especially at this level. Not so much at the pro level, because you have those games that we talk about, the trap games.
Yeah.
The emotional games that you don't really get up for, but you're looking ahead to the next game. That happens all the time. It may happen to Arizona this weekend. Man, who do they play Thursday?
Was it USC and then UCLA?
Correct. So you got a feeling that trap game could happen Thursday?
Yeah.
Because that Saturday game is huge. But little do they know, both games are huge.
Oh, I was going to say, right now for them, every game is huge.
Right.
Every game.
So if you don't know that, that's on you, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to know walking out on that floor and knowing where you are back outside the top 25 once again. Mm-hmm. You have to prove something to yourself.
Right.
Heading into the tournament.
Sure, especially how you lost Saturday. What an unbelievable finish. Twice.
Yeah.
They had a chance to win it and they didn't. Played well enough to win, just didn't. Couldn't stop Pritchard, but that's all who has except for ASU on the Thursday. But hey, if anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. I'd really like your calls. If you did watch the game on Saturday, what are your thoughts on what happened, why it happened, and how it could have been prevented? Maybe I have a devil's advocate approach to what you're saying, or maybe not. Maybe I'll agree. If you don't agree with me, just give me a buzz. I'm cool with that. So the women, the men, softball, and the thing I wanted to mention with you was the that unbelievable story with the goalie.
Yeah.
You probably know more than I do because I saw the story a couple times over the weekend. Then I saw the Today Show. He was on the Today Show. And the circumstances of it, I didn't even know they had backup goalies. Do they have one here?
So what it is David Ayers was the emergency backup goaltender. Mm-hmm. So both of the Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders got hurt.
What happened to the first guy?
So the first guy, I'm trying to remember which order it happened. One of them ended up with a concussion.
I thought that was the second time. No, second guy.
I think that, that was the second guy. I'm trying to remember. The first guy in hockey, they called a lower body injury. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
So he comes out of the game, can't play anymore. And now you're down to, in the NHL, the home team basically puts a person in the stands who is a third goaltender and is available for either team to play. Ayers is a 42-year-old guy who works for their affiliate. So he works at like a team like the Roadrunners.
That's not his real job either. His real job,
he's a maintenance man and a Zamboni driver for the Toronto Marlies.
Right, right. But his real job, I saw this morning, he's like a engineer somewhere. I'm just throwing that out. I didn't know that either because he has a real regular job.
Yeah.
But he does that job too.
Yeah. And he practices with the Toronto Maple Leafs and with the Marlies when they need a goaltender.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So 15 years ago, he actually had a kidney transplant and he figured his playing days were over. And he played junior B hockey and got invited to a Sharks prospect camp at one time. So he was good, but he was never going to make it as a big time pro, really, or maybe he would have, who knows. But so he thought his career was just completely over, and he got a kidney from his mom in a transplant, and he's been plugging right along, and all of a sudden, so what happens is both goaltenders for Carolina are injured, so he dresses and enters the game.
Against his team.
Against the Leafs, who also are his weekend employer. So he ends up beating them. He gave up two goals in the first two shots he faced, then settled in and stopped the next eight. Mm-hmm. And the Hurricanes really backed him up. They did a nice job, but then they beat the Leafs 6-3. And so now the city of Toronto is burning because they lost to a Zamboni driver, 42-year-old Zamboni driver. Carolina loves it. They're printing T-shirts with the guy's name on it. Yeah, they're flying him down for the game tomorrow night. It's an incredible story. It's a dream come true type of scenario, and you don't hear of something like this very often. But a normal human being, Steve, like you and I, stepped into the ranks of the pros and won.
And won. Yeah. I saw that. So the T-shirts that are being sold because of his kidney transplant, all sales or proceeds go to a kidney foundation in the Carolina area, I think that's where he played, right? That's where he's going to.
Well,
in Carolina.
Yeah, he was going to work with the team to find. I don't know if they found a foundation yet, but maybe they have. But it's going to go to a kidney foundation.
There's that. And then the hockey stick. The hockey stick, they didn't let him keep the hockey stick. It's going into the Hall of Fame because this is rare.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You would know. I don't even know this existed. And he said, I think it was like one of the two or three times it's ever happened.
Yeah, he kept the puck. The stick goes to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, right.
He has the puck, and he is the oldest goaltender ever to win his NHL debut. And it is extremely rare that a guy like that even gets into a game, let alone wins a game. So there is a precedent, though. It was set way back in 1945. The Toronto Maple Leafs pulled a guy named Frank McCool off a Toronto bar stool and put him in net.
In the arena?
No, he was out. He was at a Toronto bar. Somebody knew he was a local goalie of some repute. But Toronto, back in the day, teams only had one goalie. Backups weren't a thing back then. Uh-huh. And so if your goalie got injured, you had to wait until he could come back out and play again. Well,
could you play without one?
You could if you wanted to, but nobody did. They tried to.
Need one, obviously.
So then you try to find a backup. Well, so this guy in 1945 comes out of complete obscurity and helps the Leafs to win a Stanley Cup.
What was his name?
Frank McCool.
And he wasn't Wally Pipped? Did he Wally Pipped the other guy?
No. No, went right back to his bar stool after that.
Nice.
But it's rare. I'm telling you a story from 80 years ago. So that's how often it does not happen. And so David Ayers is a big-time celebrity right now.
Wow. And then there was a boxing match. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't.
Wilder and Fury?
I mean, I saw everybody reacting to it, but I used to like boxing, but not so much anymore.
I still do. I didn't watch the fight. I was somewhere. What was I? Oh, watching the game. I covered boxing. I covered boxing in the Olympics. I covered boxing here. Covered De La Hoya Mayweather in Vegas. A couple of other big fights. And I didn't see this one. Seven rounds. I guess it was good. I guess they just announced that there's going to be a third one.
Oh, sure.
Wilder, Fury.
Sure.
How often you get to see 6-7 big dudes beat the heck out of each other? Not too often.
No. It used to be, I think, heavyweights when they were actually a little leaner. Yeah. Some of the older school fighters. But lately, it's just kind of been
not nearly
as exciting.
This is the first time I think people are interested in heavyweights. It's been a while because it's the lower classes of weights.
I dare say since the Tyson era.
Yeah.
It's the first time people have been interested.
Yeah. With that news, we'll go to a commercial here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me is my guy, Tom Callahan. Just talking random sports. A big weekend, of course. We talked about the boxing match with Fury and Wilder. Fury won that in seven rounds, threw in the towel in the seventh. Vegas is always crazy for those big events. Basketball, what a crazy event on Saturday night in McHale. In fact, I tweeted with about 10 minutes left, I think, that I wouldn't mind seeing this game go into five overtimes. To me, it had that type of drama written all over it. So when they went into drama, people were blaming me for them going into overtime. Can't blame me because they didn't go into five overtimes. It was a fantastic finish. You had Arizona with a chance to win it with Josh Green at the line with 2 seconds, and he misses both free throws after falling on the court and taking some time to get his vision or whatever recalibrated. Missed the two. A lot of pressure, obviously. But I'm sure that he's been in situations like that in high school and other games before. And then they couldn't stop Pritchard, who had 38. The guy was very, very, very good. And then, let me tell you, Arizona didn't have a chance with the second left. It didn't have a chance. But they get that home run pass, get it to Coloco, and guess what happened? They have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. There's no way in the world they have a chance. And then they found a chance. I mean, those people upset, I have every right to be upset, but there was no chance. And then he gave him a chance. But he shoots only like 43% from the free throw line. I guess people who knew that would know that chances were not very good. And he missed two, and, well, the rest of the story is what it is.
I will say a couple things. Number one, Steve, I'm always shocked when guys who this is something they aspire to do for a living aren't good free throw shooters. It's the easiest shot in the game to hit.
Right, right,
you're standing still.
Well, this is exactly... When was the last time you saw a recruiting video that highlighted free throws?
Never.
Exactly. Because it's not drama-filled. It's not, look at me. It's about the simplest thing you can do. Not that I could do it. I remember going to a free throw contest when I was a kid, and I was competing against some friends of mine or whatever, and they were very good. I played basketball, but I was never that disciplined to go to the free throw line. I was horrible. It was horrible. It was the last time I ever did it because it was too embarrassing. But it's difficult. But if this is what you do, this is what you do, right?
And it's something you can work on. You can work on that stroke and that motion. Question.
Ironically, guess who one of the best free throw shooters in NCAA history is? Take a guess.
That's
right in front of you.
Steve Rivera?
Sean Miller. Sean Miller.
Really?
Sean Miller.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
In fact, Google his stats. You'll find, I think he's close to 90%.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, he over the last few years, not recently, he was part of the coaches versus each other in a free throw contest to win money or for research and stuff. He was always among the leaders and maybe even a finalist or two.
Oh, wow.
Very, very good. Oh, he was very disciplined, very fundamental, and he was one of those guys who didn't like to miss.
I would never have guessed Sean Miller in a million
really?
Years. Yeah, we would have been here all night. I'm glad you told me.
Yeah, Sean Miller. And that did it him in. In fact, 3 weeks ago, Arizona was, I think it was playing USC when they made that last second run at him. Remember those last, they closed the gap?
Sure.
I asked Sean directly if he was concerned about free throws. He said no, because they shot 70% that night and they were able to survive the win. But I remember, and then 3 weeks later, this happens. I remember, I don't know if you would remember this, Memphis under Calipari went to the finals. I think they played Kansas. It was my second last Final Four I've ever been to. I was at the game, and the question for all week was, do you think that free throws will eventually bite you? No, we got this. No, we got this. Guess what eventually happened?
Free throws bit him.
That was the kid, the guard from Kansas, hit that last second. Chalmers. Mm-hmm. Chalmers hit that shot, got in overtime, and then they lost in overtime. If it's an issue, guess what? It's an issue. Maybe not with certain people, but for these two, it exactly was. You know, I think it is for Dylan Smith. These two that missed. And maybe it's destiny or whatever. I don't know. You know, I believe in it.
Mm. And don't tell me that teams don't try to foul and target the guys who are the worst free throw shooters.
Of course.
They hope they get possession, yeah, and they go after them.
In the case of Coloco, They had no choice but to go
right.
to Coloco. The fact that the matter is, and he and Shannon admitted this, he had wished he would have been able to substitute Coloco for Zeke for Coloco, because it would have been a better chance at winning. Because, but that's not to say that the home run ball would have worked.
Right. Exactly.
You know, circumstances would have been different. It's yep. like it's like people when they drive their when they go somewhere and they says, "Oh, I'm lucky," or whatever, says, or not lucky. I says, "Well, did you if you would have left 10 seconds earlier in your car, you might have been in that accident that happened 10 seconds before you got here."
Yeah.
You never know. Circumstances of the event changes things.
Well, here's the other thing. Allow me to big picture this for a moment, but the free throws are not what lost in the game.
No. No.
The free throws could have won them the game.
Yes.
But they're not what lost them the game.
No. What did you see that would have won them the game?
Well, I mean, we always talk about shooting, so I'm not even going to bring it up. But they weren't that bad. But you know what's weird? And I freely admit, I'm not a hardcore basketball strategist. But to me, I look at this team defensively, and I feel like at times they really look like they have it together. And at times, other teams are just doing whatever they want, moving the ball around and being able to cut through Arizona's defense. And I don't have a handle on why it's so up and down. Perhaps that's something you would be able to kind of clarify, but it just seems like they're wildly inconsistent on the defensive end.
Oh, yeah, no question. It's a mediocre defensive team from the start. They have three games left. Three games? Four games. Four games left. 2-2 because they already played Arizona State. And then they go to the Pac-12 tournament, and then they start the NCAA tournament. Can they win six straight in the NCAAs? I don't think they won six straight all year. They could have, but I don't think so.
I don't think they have.
And so we'll see what happens. It's just unbelievable how it happened this weekend. I think, though, had they won, everybody would have said, "Oh, I told you they were going to be okay. They won this game." The funny thing is, I asked Sean, I think one of the last questions of Saturday, I even prefaced it, this may be a dumb question, but I'll ask it. Do you think that you learned anything from this, given that you played them so well and so close? You know what his answer was?
What's that?
What could it have been, you think? Given the circumstances.
I honestly don't know. I don't want to have dead air on the radio. Sorry, here. I don't know.
He said no. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, sure. They played these guys tough. They hung in there, whatever. I don't know if that would have been a wrong answer. What he said was not a wrong answer, no. Because that's how he feels, and he was upset right. at the time.
Right.
But, you know, when you've seen this team, and one of the questions I asked too was, it was a crazy game. It was a crazy game, no question. And I asked him, had he been in a crazier game? And he said, yeah, six times this year, which is I started to laugh because it's probably true.
So they won their first nine, by the way. Arizona started 9-0.
Okay.
And then the Baylor game happened.
Okay, and then things started to show. Then you started to see things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so my bad, but the competition, and not to make my bad look any better, but they didn't play anybody in the first nine games. Illinois, maybe. But that was in the honeymoon period?
Yeah, yeah. And that was when, well, we all had hope.
Mm-hmm.
We all had hope, Steve.
That you can still have hope. But how much hope, I'm not too sure.
It's been tamped down a little bit.
Oh, no question. It's reality now. People are on Sean, obviously, on the kids. I still don't understand why they're on the kids or Sean, I guess. They're fans. But unless you have like a financial stake in this and you're a fan, shame on you. Who has you suffering and sweating the success and failures of this team? Does it make sense? I'm sure you used to be that way when you were a kid.
I mean, yeah, when I was in high school and whatever, and yeah, junior high, you know, I lived and died by Buffalo sports teams when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah, so you had a nice little childhood because you were doing fairly well?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Until?
They were pretty good.
The Super Bowls came.
Yeah, well, even then, you know what's funny is Buffalo, because we've never won a major title, but we've won a lot of minor sports titles, we have this weird pride in that four straight Super Bowl appearances, sure. even though we didn't win. And because they're one of the best teams in the NFL. We just never won the Super Bowl. But holy cow, for 6 or 7 years, it was like watching an all-star team play football in your backyard.
And they gave you hope.
Oh, every year. Every year.
Is it a, how can I say this? It's not a burden. Is it a bad thing when you don't win it, but you finish second?
I mean, yes and no. I suppose I can understand for fans how it gets frustrating over time.
Like for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
But you got there 4 times.
Right. And so when we went through the NFL's longest streak of playoff drought from the year 2000 up until a couple of seasons ago, 17 years, whatever it was, boy, those 90s teams look pretty darn good, and you appreciated that a whole lot more.
No question.
Than missing the playoffs every year.
No question. In fact, I think the last time they went to the Final Four in 2001, I still believe, I don't know if anybody else believes with me, that was the best team Arizona's ever had. 88 was very good, obviously, the firstborn for the Final Four with Steve Kerr and Sean Elliott. 94 was fantastic with Damon and Khalid. 97, obviously, with Bibby and Miles, and they won the title. But for my money, and I covered this team specifically, Gilbert, Luke, Jason Gardner, Richard Jefferson, Lauren Woods, did I miss Luke Walton, Michael Wright, pretty darn good, losing to Duke in the finals. And they got a chance to win. Gilbert was hurt, a bad call or two, and Luke was hurt. But for me, that was it. And that's the last time they've been to the Final Four. It ain't easy.
No. If it was easy, everybody'd do it.
Everybody would do it. It ain't easy, and it makes you appreciate what you had before, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been here for that.
Right.
It's tough for me because I haven't been here for that.
It's 19 years ago. A lot of the freshmen, or none of the freshmen at U of A,
weren't born.
Yeah. Sophomores, they were one. Juniors, there were two. They don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No memory.
Let's take a quick break here on 1030 Voice, The Voice. Come back and talk to you some more, Tom. Anybody want to call in, please do. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and with me, Tom Callahan. Hey, good choice of the music, Senor Tom.
Yeah, I've always liked that one. I always liked that riff. I think Jefferson Starship is an underrated band.
I agree. Back in
Jefferson
the day.
Airplane, Jefferson Starship, whatever they're called.
Back in the day music. I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what today was too? The tribute to Kobe Bryant. I was listening to Shaq in his expletive-filled tribute. I guess it was funny because people speak from the heart sometimes. I'm surprised you have never used my button yet. My curse button, because sometimes I want to say things and I just catch myself.
You catch yourself, though.
I do, because I have to remember where I'm at. So I kind of say that every now and again. I guess anybody who wants to listen, they should just Google or go to ESPN and see what Shaq said. It's pretty good, pretty funny. And when you love somebody and you admire somebody and you talk highly of them, it's always emotional. And he was very emotional, very, very a good speech. Funny, too. I hope when I pass that people are able to say some stupid stuff about me. You know,
that's fair.
He was a fool. He was a fool, but he was funny. You know, whatever. But just enjoy some of the stories I've written or some of the stupid things I've said here. I don't know why I went there, but I just listened to Shaq. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. I've been watching his wife speak now in a taped interview. Very tough. Very tough. It's been almost a month.
Yeah.
Time flies.
And his Kobe's wife today filed suit against a helicopter company.
I saw that. Yeah.
For negligence and what have you. And it's interesting. I read a bunch of different books, Steve, but it's crazy. So Sebastian Bach is a lead singer of Skid Row. I was reading his book about his crazy times back in the 80s and 90s as the lead singer of a metal band. And he was talking about how flying into one show, the only way to really get in there was by helicopter, and how the pilot was showing off and was going all over the place in this helicopter and almost hit power lines with him and some of the other band members in the helicopter. And then 1 week later, Stevie Ray Vaughan dies going to the exact same amphitheater in a helicopter crash.
Wow.
And you wonder, was the pilot joyriding? And you know, it's just so... I can't imagine. But, you know, the pilots, I don't know if they're trying to show off for the celebrities or what, or, you know, in Kobe's case, this guy obviously felt pretty sure he could make it through whatever the situation was weather-wise.
Right. And with how can I say this? If probably knowing that it's the only way to get him there, because obviously they're taking it for a reason. They don't have to deal with traffic. They have plenty of time, or if they get there, you know what I'm saying? And because if they don't get there, they don't play.
Right.
So, I don't know. You don't know what they're thinking at the time.
No.
Have you been in a helicopter?
Have I been in a helicopter? I don't think I have.
Yeah, they're pretty cool when they're obviously doing well.
Yeah.
I've been in a couple of times. Here, in fact, when I was 1985, I think it was, I was covering the... Twice, I think. No, I've been there twice. Both same year. Went to cover the golf tournament and in 1985, El Tour de Tucson, or 1987, the El Tour de Tucson, kind of following the guys as they were along the route. Pretty fun, obviously. Kind of scary if you're not used to it, but very cool. You know, luckily nothing happened.
That's it's crazy, though, to think that.
Right. No, I know.
Someone could be taking that chance with your life.
Yeah, sure. No.
I'd want him to err on the side of caution.
Right. No, heck yeah. I don't want to go or whatever. Have you been? What's the scary? Now I'm kind of diverting from sports, but your scariest plane flight?
I have. Okay, so there was one. This wasn't actually even a flight yet. We were on the runway, and this
Where?
Was.
Where?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. This is a long, long time ago.
You're scared and you don't remember where?
No, I just remember that I was on a plane, and whatever flight it was, one of the options in the armrest was you could listen to the cockpit, and you could listen to the air traffic control talking to the pilots and whatever.
One of those little buttons, yeah.
So we our plane goes to take off. And accelerating down the runway, and all of a sudden slams on the brakes right as we're about to leave the runway. And that channel went silent because I was listening to it. And it went dead silent. And the plane, it felt like, oh my God, please deploy all the parachutes before we run off the runway. Mm-hmm. I don't know how close we were to hitting another plane. I don't know what happened. And the pilot comes on, just cool as a cucumber, like after we slowed, turned around, said, all right, folks, we had to abort that takeoff. We're going to go ahead and do that again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't know what happened, but something happened, Steve. I'm convinced that there was another plane either coming in somewhere or crossing the runway or something, mm-hmm. that there was almost a collision. I can't tell you how close because I didn't see anything on my side of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But that was probably the most scared I've ever been. I've been through like altitude drops in the air and some pretty severe turbulence, flown directly through a lightning-filled thunderstorm. But that moment, because I didn't know what was going on,
right.
scared me the most.
And you just turn around and did it again?
Yeah, then they just turned
around.
That's
when you should be scared. What the heck?
Went back and took off again.
I'm surprised when they just go back to the terminal and kind of say, you know, shake it off and then figure it out and then kind of start. But it wasn't that.
I guess not.
It wasn't that. That's what I would have been afraid of.
We pulled off the runway, went back into the queue, and took off.
Yeah. I was on a flight from Washington to Seattle, Washington, to Pullman, I think it was. And I was flying with the team at the time. I can't remember what year, but it was scary coming into Spokane, Washington. It was like, holy, it might have been a smaller plane because it was just an hour flight, I think it was. And it was just, I remember the guys, Eugene Edgerson, being freaked out, and I'll try to get him on, and maybe he'll remember that flight. It was like one of those things that, oh man, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It turned out fine, but scary because the weather, it's always bad and snowy and not fun.
The other one that was frightening for me was we were in Alaska. I was with a team that traveled up to Alaska, and a volcano erupted somewhere on either the Canadian coast or maybe even in Washington. And we couldn't fly because the volcanic ash would choke the engines.
Yeah, yeah. Very dark, deep.
And so they canceled our flight not too long before we were supposed to take off. So I can't imagine if we'd have taken off into that and maybe the winds shifted or whatever they did, you know, if we would have ended up somehow tangled up in that.
How long did you wait to take the flight?
Till the next day.
Yeah.
We had to wait till the next day for everything to dissipate. We couldn't get out that day.
You with a team?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were stuck another day in Anchorage, Alaska.
Did you play that night?
No. No, we were done. We were actually on our way to Vancouver, British Columbia, and then we were headed out to the little island there, Victoria.
Yeah, yeah. Have you been? So I guess you did. You stay in Victoria?
No, mm-hmm.
Victoria.
Stayed 4 days in Victoria.
Vancouver.
And I've been in Vancouver a bunch.
Yeah, to me, it's one of the prettiest cities.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Vancouver's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I love it.
Very nice. Very pretty.
Yeah.
How much time we have? We got some time. So anybody want to call in, please do, 790-2040. 4 weeks, 3 weeks for basketball to really get going, the madness. Although the madness kind of started this weekend in a weird way. I couldn't stop talking enough about that game. Like I said, I thought it could go into five overtimes. It could have very easily got into a second overtime. It just didn't. Sad for the fans. It was Mikal was rocking like it used to rock. Those lights, everyone into it. A fantastic game to watch. You just didn't know what was going to happen. And then it just ended. It just ended, and you're thinking, what the heck just happened?
Heartbreaking result aside, mm-hmm. Does that game make you feel better about where they were?
It did to me. In fact, I do my Sports Guys podcast video or whatever, and Moreno was with me, and we talked about it after the game, and I thought I liked this team again. I didn't for a while, and I don't know if I do it completely, but I liked it again because it showed a lot of heart. It showed a lot of heart because it had a chance to win. The circumstances and the outcome did not prove, you know, did not come favorably.
Right.
But they played hard, and they played the win, and they almost had it. They just didn't have it. Just didn't get it. But I like this team in a weird way. You know why? Coloco is going to be a very good player. He was a project coming in. He's been very good. One of the best players I've ever seen here improve so quickly. And I'm not trying to be funny about it. I'm being serious.
He might be a change of scenery guy doing him good. I mean, that happens sometimes. Guys get out of a program, they transfer in, or they go
Coloco.
To a different spot. Or,
this is Coloco. What are you talking about? The guard?
Yeah.
The Hazard? No. Oh, you're talking about Cornell?
Yeah.
And he played well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody that needed to play well played well. They just didn't have that last chance. And, hey, it happens. Does this hurt, you think, more than the ASU game?
Not if you ask U of A fans. Anything ASU hurts more.
Yeah, yeah. Up by 22 and lose.
Anything. It doesn't. You could. Yeah, you could be behind the whole way and rally and fall 1 point short to ASU, and that's still going to be anything with ASU is more heartbreaking. I think for a U of A fan.
That's true. Like the football game 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was not good. I remember that one, and I remember thinking, man, are they going to hold on to this lead? And I should have answered my own question.
I ran into, I won't say who it is, I ran into an administrator at the end of the third quarter, that game 2 years ago, and they had 18-16 point, whatever it was, and everyone was very happy, and I was thinking, well, this, you just need more of these, and it'll get back on track as a good football program. And he said, yeah, you're right, and I like it. It's going well right now, or going well. It's like, you know, the game was already won.
Right.
Half hour later. It was over and they had lost.
Got to play to the whistles.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to take the break now?
Sure.
Let's take the break now here on 1030 The Voice. Come back and talk a few more minutes of sports. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And with me is my guy, Tom Callahan. Hey, I want to let people know that I'm not going to be in tomorrow. So no sports tomorrow. At least not for me.
You know, oh, that's right. Tomorrow is the Democratic debate. We'll be running here starting at 5 o'clock.
Yes, so the debate will
programming
be
note
on instead of me. I'm okay with that. I get a day off during the week.
I have to stay longer.
Well, you'll get more informed democratically.
I will. I will be more democratically informed at the end of the evening.
If you're paying attention or actually care. You don't have to tell me.
Well, see, I have to pay attention because if they go to break and the break doesn't work, I have to be on top of that.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm sitting here, is to make sure that all works.
Oh, okay. Okay. So now you just either pay attention or you don't.
I have to pay attention.
Just for the breaks, not for the information.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Anybody want to call in, please do. 790-2040. We could talk about the women's basketball team, the men's basketball team. Were you at the game? Did you feel that it was a bad play, bad whatever during that game? If you want to talk about anything else, that's fine too. The softball team. It's funny, the softball team, we saw Played very well against Oklahoma, right? And they lost. They lost in extra innings. I was at the game. They played against the Team USA. Played very well. Lost by one run in a kind of exhibition game. They go on the road and they play in California. Play well for a couple games, three, four games. Lose, I think, a couple to teams that they probably should beat, at least in the rankings. I don't believe that because teams are good teams, good team. And I saw on the internet, the old internet, people ragging them, saying this and that about this team. They're seven games in on a 40-something game schedule. Maybe a longer schedule.
A lot of time. A
lot of time. This is not football. This is women's softball when you have, what's one in February? Cold weather?
Yeah.
What do you gain from anything?
Yeah.
No, it's like when I talk about college basketball, November, December, you remember those victories?
No.
What'd they get you?
That's why I had to look them up, Steve.
What'd it get you?
Nothing.
Not a darn thing.
No.
No, it's now. It's now. Like in softball, it'll be April, May.
Sure.
Talk to me then, and then you could maybe spout off or whatever. Now it's way too early to talk.
Same thing for the baseball team.
Same thing for the baseball team. You don't know.
Heat up going into when it matters.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time, because I talk about philosophy rather than actual play. Today I heard somebody talk about the team. Well, maybe they'll learn from this. How many times do you have to learn from this? We've talked about this before, right?
I'm tired of the phrase.
Yes, exactly.
This needs to be a wake-up call. This is a learning opportunity. All of that. I'm so tired of that stuff.
Because it's trite.
It's the worst cliche.
It's trite, and it's not usable anymore.
Yeah.
When you come to the office, whether you're 25 and me too, I probably misspeak more than I need to, but, Tom messed up. Tom messed up. He'll learn from this.
It's a teachable moment.
A teachable moment. If you're not teaching right now or learning right now or haven't already learned, Tom, nice knowing you.
Mm.
True?
Yeah, I think if you're in a new situation, like, you know,
sure,
Steve,
sure.
If you're a freshman or in a new program, I think at the beginning of the year, yes, you're learning the way to do things. But, man, if you go to practice every day and you're out there in any sport and you don't understand the system a couple months in,
mm-hmm.
or you're still making the same mistakes you made back in October now,
mm-hmm.
what did you learn? You
right.
haven't.
You haven't.
And you're probably not going to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. I think, like, to a certain extent, the leopard can't change its spots. You can teach certain things in any sport, but there are certain guys and gals who will just never get what it is you're trying to hammer home. They just don't, for whatever reason.
I agree.
And maybe it's the way it's being taught. Maybe mm-hmm. it's on the coach. Maybe it's on the player. Maybe mm-hmm. they're not receptive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're stubborn.
All of that.
But this is where we're at.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But so to your point about the softball team, it's way too early.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is different because we're at that point of the season right now.
Right.
So, but I think if you're going to, you just, come on.
Timing and circumstances.
And general fan impatience.
Yeah, but the fans are, I don't know. I don't want to say spoiled because you talked about being spoiled too. They've been spoiled, sure. From what, I don't know, because it's been a long time since the Final Four we talked about. It's been a long time since the national title, their only title. 4 years removed or 5 years removed from a great run to the Elite Eight, not Final Four. And there's been a lot of winning. But at Arizona, that's what you're here about? Does it make sense? In fact, I saw one of those posts, and we talked about this last week. If you're here to win Pac-12 titles, but you're not here to win Pac-12 titles.
No. Not if you're a basketball school.
Not if you're a basketball school. Yes. And in football, you're not here to win 500% of your game or 50% of your game.
Right.
Right? Or go 7-5. Are you? Maybe now you are, or hoping to, but not really.
Yeah, at this point, you have to be looking for kids who want to turn the program around.
Right, right.
You know, who want to be here and be part of something and build something. You're not preaching that to a guy who wants to spend a year or two playing college ball and go to the NFL.
No.
You need a 4-year commitment
mm-hmm.
for someone who wants to turn a program around.
And they have that. I don't know, but you have to also be good enough. I don't know if he has anybody that's good enough.
I like Gunnell.
Well, I was just going to say other than Gunnell. So if I'm Gunnell and you're my receiver, or you're Gunnell and I'm the receiver, Good luck with that.
Well, the other thing is, too, is if, let's say he comes out, has a really good season next year. Does he stay?
No. We've talked about that, too. Yeah, you're right. Well, he has a really good season. That would mean if he has a good season, there's going to be other people around him that have good seasons.
Right.
They'll have to. Right.
Somebody's got to catch the pass.
Someone's got to catch the pass. Right. Yeah. So that's either
I don't know who it's going to be right
one
now.
Player or two players.
Right.
So, you know, even though he might have a good game or two or 10, other people have to step up as well.
All right. Can I shove it back to basketball for a minute?
Sure.
Because I kind of want to talk about Chase Jeter.
Okay.
Remember how in the beginning of the year we were thinking he was going to be part of the solution?
And we did?
Jeter. Well, yeah, I felt like Jeter, the conversation around Jeter was he was going to be a guy who, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
But he was going to be a guy who was going to be able to fill in and be that other key cog. Obviously, you know, we know that Zeke and Nico were the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. But it seems like, I don't know. I don't know that you lose that much from an injury. It's just kind of strange to me how he's not the same player, I don't think.
I think he's always been the same player. I think he's always been the same player. I don't even know where to go with this.
I'm trying to provoke some thought here.
Just
yeah?
not that good. And now you have a guy who you can use Gettings. Gettings, who's filled the spot, and they've done very well with him there. With Coloco emerging, I think you're okay without Jeter. And it was kind of strange. He's gained weight. I think I said that to you last week.
Yeah.
Thicker now that he's been out a few games and kind of. And I'm not sure if basketball is going to be in his future. Maybe, but I don't know. I don't think so. He's a smart kid. Very smart kid. He's an option for Arizona. He played a good game Thursday. You know, he came in heavy on it, 6 points right away, did really well, but then you haven't seen him since.
See, and that's what reminded me of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is like there was that little flash.
Right.
I'm like, oh man, what? I don't know. Maybe in my mind, I don't know if I read something or I just thought something that I just felt like he was going to develop into more and keep an upward trajectory.
No, I just think that he is who he is. A good kid, very smart kid, well-mannered, well-spoken. But Arizona really doesn't need him. They're playing well without him. But he did come along at a right time to help with whatever he needed to be doing last 2-3 years. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
But he couldn't. Well, I guess he could have been that guy in the middle, but they couldn't substitute Coloco. That's one of the reasons why he was in there. But he also probably would not have been able to spread his wings to get that ball on the home run pass, too. Circumstances would have clearly been different.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of the thing is, I mean, Coloco's the guy who's out there to make that catch, but he's not the one you want to send to the line.
Right,
it's like, well, you know.
Half dozen one, half dozen the other.
Right. Yeah. You're, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's
right.
Like you say, the pass may never even complete itself with anyone else who's in there.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you would have liked to have had, you know, Zeke subbed out if you're Sean Miller
mm-hmm.
or subbed in, who knows?
Right. Would have been an easier guy to guard.
And I'll just go back to what I said earlier about how, to be honest with you, that shouldn't have come down to that.
No, you're right. You're right. They had a 4-point lead with, I think, maybe 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left. Chase at the free throw line got fouled on a 3-point play. He hit one of three. Could have hit one or two more. It's funny how things turn out to be only one possession. One possession. The one big one possession that I remember was the Xavier game. Xavier game, Sweet 16, 2-3 years ago. And all Arizona needed was a stop. Was a stop. Because they couldn't stop Xavier from scoring. Or a shot from Trier to hit. And they're moving into the Elite Eight against Gonzaga. Couldn't get it. Just couldn't get it. You're one shot away. And then look at Wisconsin in 2014-ish, I think. One shot away. Nick Johnson hits a shot. You're going to the Final Four. He doesn't. Your season and your career changes.
Is that what keeps the fans' hope up? Because they can point to moments like that and say, well, if only?
I guess. I remember it only because they just stick in my mind. They stick in my mind. And then Arizona hasn't been a factor since. It's been factors. 2015, they lost to Wisconsin again in the tournament. And then since then, they've made the tournament a time or two, but as an afterthought. You know, they get the tournament and lose to who they lose to?
Buffalo.
Wichita State.
Well, yeah.
And then Buffalo. Yeah. And then you're thinking, how did we get into this mess?
And then don't make the tournament.
No, exactly. Two of the last 3 years, I think. Could be wrong. Two of the last 3 years. And who knows where they're going to be sent to this year. It's not going to be higher than a 5 or 6 seed, that's for sure.
I don't know if it's that high.
Circumstances of events, Senor Tom.
I know. It's crazy, Steve, as the basketball world turns here in Pac-12 country, you know?
Right. No, but the funny thing about it, they're good enough to win it all in the Pac-12 tournament. Bad enough to win, to lose in the first round, given the circumstances of who they might be playing in.
That's so weird to say that about a team, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I even said it and I was feeling kind of strange, but I don't think I'm wrong.
It's parity.
It's whatever you want to word.
Or lack of consistency. Like I said, inconsistency.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
It is part of the game these days. No question. Tom, good to see you.
Good to be here.
I will see you Wednesday.
Yes. Programming note once again, Steve will not be here tomorrow. We have the Democratic debate.
You're probably better off. Thanks, everybody, for listening here on 1030 The Voice.